rise, let it rise, let it rise from your spirit. Shina bantai ni sufidiane. Shina la no sande. Shina la no saya. Oh Lord, we worship, we worship. We adore your name, your name. You're the reason we live. You're the reason we move and have our being. Hela-la-la-ba-dosa. Oh, it's all because of Jesus. Shelelele-na-ya-na-ye-la-la-ba-sa-telele. And you are the reason why I lift my hands, why I lift my voice, why I sing to you. Yes, Lord. And you are the reason I'm alive today. I am here to say it's all because of you. Come on, join me, sing. He's the reason. You are the reason why I lift my hands, Lord. Why I lift my voice. Why I sing to you. Oh, you are the reason we're alive today. We have come to say, Lord, it's all because one more time. You are the reason. You are the reason why we lift our heads. Why we lift our voices, Lord. Why we sing to you. Oh yes, oh yes. You are the reason we're alive. We've come to say, Lord, it's all because of you. Oh, you are the reason. You are the reason. You are the reason. And you are the reason. 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 Sela la dosa tandela. Sela la la ba dosa tene na ya ba. Sheni na na ya. Sheni na ya. Hela pipeni na yamane. Oh, come and lift your voices wherever you are. He's the reason we live and have our being. He's the reason we're alive today. He's the reason we're called sons of God. Sane balo sane liana yana. Oh, come and let His praises rise. Let His praises rise. Let His worship rise. Oh, shatalabaye. Come and let it rise from your spirit this morning. Oh, let it fill your atmosphere. Satela mandela no salabayane. You are, you are. Yes, you are, you are. Hela na yelele. Hela na bayanane. Hela la basutele. Come on, let it rise. Just love upon the Father. He's the reason.
the reason why I lift my hands, why I lift my voice, why I sing to you. You are the reason I'm alive today. I am here to say it's all because of you. Come on, somebody, wherever you are this morning, I just wanted to go ahead and just love upon him. He's a loving father. He loved us first. And I would like us to just love him back this morning. Just go ahead and love upon him. Just say something beautiful to him.
Because of you, oh,
center of it all. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all. It's you that
Just lift your hands and just thank God one more time. Just say, Father, I worship you. Father, I give you praise. I thank you. I thank you, Father, for how my week has been. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for all things. I thank you for all things that I have in Christ Jesus. Father, I give you praise for all those things that I've accessed, those ones I'm accessing and I'm yet to access. Father, I thank you because you've made everything available for me to enjoy in Christ Jesus. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing? How's your week been? I believe you have been good and you have been doing great. And your week too, your day as well. I'm sure all things are working together for your good and for our good. And I'm sure that you have been blessed by the series that Reverend has been taking us, the word series that he's been taking us. I'm sure that your heart has been open and you have been taking those things that are yours. You have been maximizing those things, the word that are coming to you. You have been utilizing them. You have been meditating upon them. Hallelujah. And I'm sure those messages also that a reverend is sending to us, those messages, you have been digesting them. You have been feeding on them. Like this last one now, the one given to us by Reverend, the one by Dr. Mark Hankins, says, tapping into the reservoir of abundance. Tapping into the reservoir of abundance. And I'm sure most of the things, or many of the things in that message, they are not new to us because a reverend took us, maybe recently, on meditation, series on meditation, that meditation, without meditation, we can't develop a spiritual root. Without meditation, we can't really enjoy those things that are ours in Christ Jesus. And Reverend Mark Hankins, also took us even deeper also into the part of meditation. That means meditation is important, very important to our lives in Christ Jesus, for us to maximize those things that are ours in Christ Jesus. There is abundance in Christ Jesus that God has made available for us. But without meditation, we can't really access them. Meditation fortifies us from within. Meditation makes our roots to be long so as to enter those rivers of abundance, to take hold of what is ours. And if the psalmist could write that, Psalm 1 from verse 1 to 3, he says, blessed, fortunate, like some translations put it, fortunate, happy. Yes, to be envied is the man that walks not in the way, or in the counsel rather, of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of discomfort. But his delight, his pleasure, his happiness is in the law of the Lord, that is in the word of God. For in the law of the Lord, in the word of God, he meditates day and night. And day, like I tell people, and like Reverend has taught us, that the day is as long as there is light, and night is as long as there is no light. That means throughout the day, throughout the night, throughout the day, throughout the night. Now, what is the result of that? What is the result of meditating on that? He says that, for it shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. We have been planted by the rivers of water, rivers of abundance. But now it takes meditation to take those things, to maximize those things that are ours. It says that it shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. We bear, or that bears its fruit in the season, its leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever he does prospers. Whatsoever he does prospers. That means when we meditate in the word of God, whatsoever we do prospers. Whatsoever we do, whatever we lay our hands on, prospers. Now God also telling Joshua in Joshua 1:8. Because he says, yes, my servant Moses is dead, but now you have to be strong and courageous. But what is that? What is that one thing, one tool that I want to give you? Is this. It says that this book of the law, this word of God, this my word, shall not depart out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. But you shall meditate. You shall meditate. According to, if you have listened to that message by Dr. Mark Hankins, now gave us several translations of, I mean, rather, several synonyms to meditation. It says, you shall cogitate, you shall excogitate, you shall muse, you shall mutter, you shall ponder, you shall murmur, you shall say it to yourself day and night. And like I said, the day is as long as there is light. Night is as long as there is no light. You shall meditate therein day and night. You shall mutter it to yourself day and night. You shall murmur it to yourself day and night. Then what will not happen? He says, you shall make your way prosperous. Yes, you shall have good success. We shall make our ways prosperous. We shall have good success by meditating. By meditating in God's word. It's meditation that gives us roots, that gives us stamina, that makes our roots to extend to that river of abundance that God has made available to us. Hallelujah. By meditation, we access those things that have been made available to us, that have been provided for us in Christ Jesus. Is that health issue, has it been prevalent? That finances, has it been prevalent? I mean, financial issues, rather, has it been prevalent? Just take scriptures that address that issue. Just take them and meditate upon them. Have you been praying for so long? Why not meditate and just develop internal stamina? Why not meditate and be fortified from within to face any challenge? Why not meditate? You could just take scriptures like 1 Peter 2:24, for example. If you are facing health issues, it says, for he himself took our sins on his own, in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes we were healed. By whose stripes we were healed? You just stay for a minute. Just meditate on that word. By whose stripes I have been healed? I have been healed. And if he has healed me, I have been healed. If I was healed, I am healed and I will forever be healed. Hallelujah. If it's financial issues, just take scriptures like 2 Corinthians 8:9. For I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ. For though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor. And I through his riches, I am abundantly blessed. I through his riches, I am abundantly rich. In the name of Jesus, I through his poverty rather, I am abundantly blessed. I am abundantly rich. In the name of Jesus, just meditate. Let's get into meditation, brethren. Meditation is the way. If God gave Joshua that tool of meditation, by this you will conquer. It's still the same thing. By that we will conquer. And David also writing in Psalm 1, by that we will conquer. We are like trees planted by the rivers of water. We bring forth our fruit in our seasons. Our leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever we do prospers. Whatsoever we do, anything we lay our hands on prospers. In the name of Jesus, I'm sure you've been blessed by that. Take a scripture that applies to that situation you are facing, to that challenge you are facing. Nothing is greater than the word. Nothing is superior to the word. The word is all things. The word is above all things. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. By the word, God made everything. God made everything. He created everything by the word. God, all things that we see, they were made by the word. Hebrews 11 made us know that, or makes us know that, that by the word, God formed everything. By the word, all these things that we see were made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sure your heart is open again to receive today. And I'm sure you have been blessed so far. And I'm sure you are ready with your pen, your pencils. And I'm sure, like I said, your heart is open to receive what God has to say to you this morning. Can we just agree together as we proceed in the service? Father, we thank you. Father, we give you praise. And Father, we thank you because your word comes to us expressly. And Father, we thank you because we are transformed by your word. Father, we thank you because we are fortified. We are established by your word. Father, we thank you because we are rooted. We are built up in your word in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you because as you have been taught, we give thanksgiving to you always in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because we do not conform to these worldly activities. Father, we thank you because we are transformed by your word for better. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you praise. And Father, we thank you because we receive spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Our eyes of understanding, they are enlightened. We know the things that have been given to us in Christ Jesus, and we access them in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. So once again, you are welcome to today's service. Just listen and be blessed. Amen.
Breathing every word that you've spoken. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we still lift our hands and acknowledge him. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Such beauty in worship, such beauty, you know, in adoring and in reverencing him. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Welcome. All right. Good morning. And welcome. I trust the weekend was good. I believe it was fulfilling, refreshing. You know, you were able to accomplish the things that you set out to do. You know, wow. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Aren't we just blessed here with good worship? You know, and all. So, you know, praise God. We give you praise. And we honor, we thank you. We honor and thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right. So tell me you're done with Mac Hankins. Are you done? Yeah. All right. I believe we're done. And then so much to learn. And I trust that so much you are applying. We're learning these things for the purpose of growth. We're learning these things for the purpose of impartation. Our lives and transformed, you know, 2 Corinthians 3 and the 18th verse is, we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, were changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. You know, so just taking a good look, you know, at what the Word says, what changed into it. Taking a good look at what the Word says, what transformed into it, what changed, what transformed. And you and I can do that, all right? Just keep our gaze on God's Word. And that's why, you know, we give that much attention to meditation. You know, and please understand, like you've also been told at the beginning of the service, all right, these things we're giving attention to, they are to change us. They are to impact us. They are to transform us, all right? It's not a burden. It's not a burden. It's for us. It's for our growth. You know, Paul in Acts chapter 20 says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. So the word of God is able to build us up. You did get that? The word is able to build us up. Build us up. Build us up. So you and I must give attention to the word, a lot of it. You know, a lot of it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, we began talking last week, still on being led, but we started talking a lot more about trusting God all the way. All the way. All the way. There's a scripture I want us to have in our hearts. Okay? And Paul was teaching here and was writing to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and the 15th verse of 1 Timothy 3. Paul says, but if I tarry long, all right, that you may know, you know, okay, let me just pick it earlier, all right? I'll just do 14. I'm going to pick earlier, and then I'm like, okay, we'll have to just pick it from verse 1. All right, I'll just pick it from 14. All right, Paul says, these things write I unto you, hoping that I should see you shortly, all right? I look forward to seeing you shortly. He says, but if I tarry long, all right, that you may know how you ought to behave in the house of God, all right, which is the church of the living God, the ground and pillar of truth. I'll take that again. 14 says, 1 Timothy 3:14, these things I write unto you, hoping to see you shortly. All right, but if I tarry long, if I delay my coming, all right, that you may know how you ought to behave, how you ought to conduct yourself, how you ought to carry out your affairs, all right, in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So the church is the pillar, the ground of truth, all right? The church is the house of God, all right? The church, that's how we need to understand that. So this, yes, we know that the physical building isn't the house of God. So he's talking about the church still, the people gathered, how they need to conduct themselves, how we all need to conduct ourselves. So the word of God is for that, okay? We need to teach. We need to read through the scriptures and right and understand how we ought to conduct ourselves. So we're learning. Because in learning how to be led, you just could learn the sweet side. Oh, the Lord led me and I prospered. Oh, the Lord led me and I this. And it's all wonderful. But you must understand the
case of obedience in all of this. So we talked about Noah. All right, Noah is one of the heroes of faith. He heard God. He built an ark. No, you have to look at the ridicule. You have to look at the shame. But we don't. Usually we just, you know. So you could tell the story about, you know, your own church now, Spirit of Life. And then you tell the story and you just, oh, wow, man. I mean, man, Spirit of Life. I mean, yes, now, pastor was in Lagos and then God spoke. And then he came to Jabu. And then I see. Yeah. And then just run through. But there was the obedience. There was the having to face family. There was the having to explain things. There was the having to talk with senior ministers and talk with friends in ministry. And then there was all that. There were people having to tell me, if you start in Lagos, count me in. I mean, we can't follow you to all this. Not like we can't follow you. I mean, not like I said, follow me too. But hey, I mean, why go that far? Stay here now. Count some of us in. We start here. We'd rather be part of your church than wherever else. I mean, all that stuff. Count that. So the issue is, don't love the gold. Please get this. And don't love the glory. Love the Lord. I'll say that again. Don't love the gold, the wealth, the comfort, and everything. It will come. Use it. Enjoy it. Don't love it. You got this, right? Don't love the gold. Don't love the glory. Oh, child of God, we will prosper. You will prosper. Are you getting this? There will not be different contexts for a lot of us, but you will prosper. You. All right, it's in your DNA, your spiritual heritage. But don't love the gold. Do not love the glory. There's this fame that comes, the honor. I mean, you have had to what? Squeeze up in a taxi cab. You know, they say two in front, four at the back. You managed. Now, I mean, you can pay for three spaces at the back. You're better than the person you used to be. And I mean, I'm using that as an example, but there have been different levels of advancements. You could charter a cab to where you're going. You know? You could pay for one extra seat and say, no, I could just want to sit alone here. Now, more advancements will come. Cars and fame and honor at work, or business deals clicking, or something just going on. Or the way your in-laws will celebrate you and love because of some good deeds. You know, all of that. And then people pumping up your name on social media, whatever it is, there will be glory. Jesus had his fame spread abroad. He didn't seek the fame. It will come by reason of impact, by reason of the things you do, but it's not what you are looking for. So don't love the gold. Don't love the glory. Love the Lord. Remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 saying, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added. The people in front of him that he said it to were not born again. Nobody could be born again because Jesus was physically present. All right? Number one. Number two, the kingdom of God was not released into the hearts of men as at that time. Jesus was still busy preaching, repent for the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom, then he said to them again, that if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons from you, then the kingdom of God is around. So he brought the kingdom. But the kingdom couldn't be expressed in humanity until we got born again. So we are not the exact crowd that he spoke to in Matthew 6 of seek first kingdom of God and his righteousness and his things will be added. Now you're born again, you are in the kingdom. If any man, you know, is born again, John 3, he will not see the kingdom. He will not enter the kingdom whether he's not born again. All right, that means when you're born again, you see the kingdom, you enter the kingdom. So you have entered into the kingdom. Are you getting that now? But this is it. Now you're in the kingdom, but you need to seek the expansion of the kingdom. You need to seek the things that concern the kingdom. So it might still kind of bring us to that Matthew 6 and say, well, could you tell a believer to seek the kingdom? But it's not seeking, oh, I'm looking for the kingdom. No, you are in the kingdom. Paul was speaking to the Roman church and he said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. So the kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost. And you have the Holy Ghost within you. Hallelujah. So the kingdom of God is in you, is with you. You are in the kingdom. The kingdom is in you. You are a carrier of the kingdom. You are an ambassador of the kingdom. So you're not seeking, like seek, look for. However, as an ambassador, you must seek the mission of the kingdom. Are you getting this? You must seek it. It's your aim. Don't seek the gold. Don't seek the glory. So all these things will be added. Now, Ephesians 1 now says in verse 3, God has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. All these things have been added because it's in the kingdom. Then 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, God has given unto you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So the things you would seek are in the kingdom. Did you get this now? But you could now still make it your aim and miss the fact that I am of a kingdom. And our aim here is expansion. Colossians 3 says, set your mind. Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. So we must define our goal. We must define what we're all about. So what we're dealing with is, hey guys, Jesus is talking about attachments. Beware of attachments. Beware of it. Jesus is not saying don't have abundance or don't have increase, but beware. In Matthew chapter 6 and the 19th verse of Matthew 6. So pick it quickly, Matthew 6 and 19. So Jesus is saying to them here, guys, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust do corrupt and where thieves break in, you know, and steal. It says, lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break in or break through, all right, nor steal. 21st verse now. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Huh? So imagine you have something in your hand, maybe what? Very expensive phone, jewelry or something. And then someone comes into your house and then wants to maybe ransack something, then you try to go somewhere. Where will your eyes be? you're looking, your eye. Why? That's where your treasure is. That's where that valuable item is. You've looked around. What do I have? And you hid it somewhere. And you know, let's go, you know. Or maybe you're playing a game with your child or something. And then you eat something. You know, then you're relaxed as long as your child is not going there or your spouse or whoever it is you're playing the game with. He's not going there. And if he starts going, he's not saying, if you're trying to deceive us, he's not there, he's not there. He's not there. You know, your eyes are there because you kept something there. Jesus is saying where your treasure is. Most believers don't have treasure in the kingdom. Our lives are 100% earth. Where your treasure is, your heart will be there. So many of us are trying to put our heart in the kingdom, but we'll put our treasure somewhere else. No, where your treasure is. So humanly speaking, how do you measure treasure? Time. How do you measure treasure? Resources, money. How do you measure treasure? Emotions. Where do you put these things? Where do you put your time? Where do you put your finances, your resources? Where do you put your emotions? All right? If your treasure is just in entertainment, your heart will be there. And then your money will go there. Nothing expires. Data must not finish. If it finishes, you're going to... Because you're putting treasure somewhere. Your heart will follow. And because you're looking at it, your treasure will follow too. Did you get that now? Your heart is there, your treasure will follow. Your treasure is there, your heart will follow. They go. Where's your money? Many things we as believers can do for money, we won't do for kingdom. We can do for fame, we won't do for kingdom. We can do in the name of justice for all, we won't do for kingdom. So they killed a young man. I mean, they shouldn't kill people, but they killed somebody. And everybody, even Nigerians, are doing Black Lives Matter. And yeah, all lives matter. Is that simple enough? All right? But yes, I understand that some people have some level of systematic, you know, racism and all of that. I get that. I know. All right? But one thing also which we need to be careful about is we make noise over white cop kills black guy. But there's a whole lot of gang black on black death. There's more black on black. A lot more. As in this gap in between black on black. Lives matter. When we understand that lives matter, black won't kill black. White won't kill black. Black won't kill white. Nobody kills anybody because lives matter. So we need to focus on that. But this is my point. So one person is killed, and everybody's out there. with placards and, you know, and then those same guys, their church pastor might have been trying to get them on street evangelism. Oh, you know, Pastor, you know, I got to go to work. Oh, you know, Pastor, I got to get, you know, I got to take my mommy to somewhere. And then everybody has something to say. But when it comes to Aluta, riot, everybody's doing it. Then let's get out there. What you won't do for the kingdom, check yourself. Check yourself. It happens with that, with social matters. It happens with it on money. All to sell business, there are many things you could do. But you can't do that for evangelism. Check it. This is just God's pure word. Check. Where's your treasure? Where is your treasure? You know, and everybody, like I get to say, you know, when I say what I'm doing it, and then we're giving. Not like you're giving 90% of the money. I'm not saying that out of, when I'm done, I'm going to, you know, raise an offering. If I would, it won't be out of context, but I'm not doing that reason. Well, you know that, so let's not even bother trying to explain anything that is not needed. I'm saying check where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. You got to make up your mind, I am a financier. And we ended here last Sunday. I'm a financier of the gospel. I'm a radical giver. I am a heavy duty giver. I sponsor spiritual things. I say, well, church is not telling us the things they need. If you ask, you hear. I mean, church can be coming cap in hand. I don't know if I got it, but we okay, like one of the things we need to do now. I mean, our cameras are rented, we record it. Hey, we could buy, right? There's a lot of things to do. But I'm saying it's not even, if everybody just steps up, I'm a financier. I'm committed to XYZ amount to kingdom. We are changing lives in this ministry. And we're not blowing funds that come to us. Even when we didn't have enough. And I mean what I'm saying. We gave to ministries. We've given to ministers when we didn't have enough. Last year, into this year, we had influence of the Spirit. Well, we began, you know, as evening of revelation and impartation and all that. Then gradually, you know, changed the name and all. When we end one meeting, we already have an idea of the budget for the next meeting, hundreds of thousands of naira. And we sow seeds to ministries. And it's not 50K we're saying, guys. And by the time we're now ready for the next meeting, we're needing money. But it's good because Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. So even when we've not had meetings physically, we've had people give. Come on. And then we still give. We've been a blessing even during the lockdown. Sent to minister ministry, even during lockdown. Hey, it's how we live because of God's word, where your treasure is. Someday, guys, this ministry will be known globally. Not just as part of the word we're going to impact people with, but about our partnership will be known globally. You know, where our partnership with ministries over the world will be concerned. Major ministries doing big things. And even unknown ministries. There's a missionary organization we've given to. We've done that maybe. I hope I have the facts correct. Like 3 times now. Missionary, they go to like Sierra Leone, Liberia. You know, they go into the interlands where car cannot get to. They use bike. Where bike cannot get to, they use bicycle. Where bicycles don't get to, they trek. Places where the gospel has not been heard yet. We give. And we intend being more committed. More consistent. My plan earlier in the year was, as we kept on having, you know, the influence of the Spirit and all, I was going to bring one of such missionaries to the meeting to talk to everybody. All right, so that you will see a lot going on. Gospel needs to be preached. There are people that have not heard of Jesus. that people have heard of Jesus, and then they need to be reached out to with Bibles to build churches for them. A pastor was going to have a conference somewhere, and then he said, hey, they need to feed the people because they don't ask these people for money. They're going to use a particular town. People are going to come from different towns. They said sometimes get about 3,000 people. And the one they had early this year, about 3,000. Early this year, maybe December. How much did we send? Like 100,000 naira. That money was in the budget or in the, we were preparing for, if it was December it happened, then we're already having it for, I think, 100 or 150. You know, December it happened, we're preparing for the January meeting. Every money was needed. We spend hundreds of thousands every month by faith. And if it was December, January, I'm trying to remember which it was, that was the addition now, that January, that we couldn't even finish paying for venue. I think that's happened to us twice anyway, but that one happened. We couldn't finish paying for venue before the meeting began. But guess what? God sent someone into that meeting that night that dropped 300,000 naira. So God honors us. How much do we give? And then God will honor us with every major currency on this earth. Because we will do ministry all over the world. Please understand this and mark it. We'll do ministry all over the world. We've sown to Copeland. We've sown to Kenny Higgins' ministry. We've sown to the work of Kenny Higgins here in Nigeria. Maybe like, we give. We give. And it's not done sparingly. Please understand this. Not done sparingly. It's deliberate. Where's your treasure? Where is it? And God is not asking, bring everything you got. I'm going to eat it up. No. God is saying, I will multiply, but you trust me first. Imagine when they were going to feed 5,000 people. Remember the story, right? I know you know the story. So Jesus fed 5,000 men with, you know, and women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Yeah, but where did they get it from? You remember? A little boy's lunch. What if they told the little boy, what's with you? He said, well, Bible didn't write lunch there, but he had it. So whether I brought it to sell or brought it to eat. Okay, maybe a little boy might have had 5 loaves to eat up, right? But hey. And then, what if the boy never released it? There would never have been a miracle of multiplication. There would never have been a miracle of abundance and leftover. But it all began with a little boy releasing something. Please get this. A little boy releases what's in his hand. He could have said, no, let's hide it. It's a little boy. And everybody's saying, oh, hungry. Just so hungry. And he's hiding his food. Number one. Number two. Hear this, please. He could have said, oh, you're hungry? Take. And take. And he shares with the people sitting around him. And they eat it. And he's gone. Ha. But he hands it over to Jesus. This is where being led comes in. There are places and people God already tells you in his word to give to those that feed you spiritually. Scripture teaches that, Galatians 6 and 6, 1 Corinthians 9, read the whole of it. Paul told Timothy. Titus talks about it. Paul tells the Roman church, whoever sows to you spiritually, you owe them from your material things. All right? Then we're going to read about the Philippian church before we leave here today. Why? Because we like to say, which is good confession anyway, God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But that came because they were partnering with Paul the apostle. Please get this. You're going to make a lot of money. You might want to say that after me. You're going to make a lot of money. You're going to make a lot of money. All right? You're going to have a lot of money. You are going to have a lot of money. Yes. You are going to have a lot of money. Yes. But money must have a mission. Did you get that? Money must have a mission. If money does not have a mission, it becomes abusable. Greed can fly in because it has no mission. 2 Sundays back, we read, you know, in the book of Ephesians and chapter 4, where Paul says, let him not stole. Let him steal no more. But let him work with his own hand that which is good, that he may have to give. Why would you tell a thief to work to give? Because all work must end up in giving. Your salary is not your source. No, come on. We work to give. End of the summer. No, I work to earn a living. No, and I learned that from Kenneth Copeland many years ago. You work to earn a giving. I repeat, you work to earn a giving. Once again, like I said, God will not ask you to give everything. He won't expect you to take care of yourself, expect you to take care of family and take care of them well within the means of what you have. Yet he expects you to give, and God will never ask you to give from what you don't have. It's from that what you have. Faith comes in trusting him. So you make up your mind again. This is my fixed income. Assuming it's fixed. How much of it goes to ministry? How much go? Set up your mind. Oh, this my percentage every month. 15%, 20%. How much of it are you giving? How much of it? Because of the things we're doing. And trust me, this ministry is going all over the world. We've been saying that before. Our live streams, I mean, and maybe I need to say this. I mean, I was looking through, you know, the Morning Faith Boost, what we do on Spreaker every day, and looking through the statistics, and I could only, I was amazed. So I could only give God praise. I was amazed. It gave a stats of cities. I was like, whoa, what is this? There were more foreign cities now, than local cities. So Lagos is in top 10. You know, I think Yenagoa or something like that. Well, no, Suleja, top 10. I think Port Harcourt enters the list. I didn't even see Ijebu. And I'm like, no, I know people in Ijebu that are listening to this thing. Are you saying there are more people in Suleja? And then you see somewhere in Texas, you see some, and like cities in the world. Top 10. I think they're about top 10 or top something. I'm like, what is this? This is impressive. Glory to God. And that's been happening to us before today. I mean, I remember, was it 4 or 5 years ago? Once I was uploading, you know, audio links on Facebook, we'll have an event, we'll put it up. And then I'll put it to go there, download and all. And then we'll come to church and read out the, you know, testimony about the downloads. I'll be reading, you know, this, that. Even when I check, you know, when we check the stats on Instagram, you're amazed. You're amazed at the countries that are up here. And I know people really who wait up before going to bed to listen to the Morning Faith Post or a Daily Faith Post now. They wait to listen. People listen outside the shores of this country. Where is your treasure? Where's your heart? Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And guess what? If your heart is not somewhere, start putting your treasure there. Your heart will follow. Like the example I gave us earlier, your heart will follow. Because your treasure goes there. You are not throwing away money. You're sowing money. You're sowing money. And that's what happened in Mark 10 about the rich young ruler. Came to Jesus. What do I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him everything he needed. He said, I've been doing that. Jesus said, one thing you lack. Give all that you have. All right? To the poor. Sell it. Give it to the poor. Follow me. The guy walks away. No. Disciples ask, but Lord, we left everything. Wait. We left everything. Jesus said, relax. No man. All right? Left father, mother, house, or anything for my sake. I'll not get 100-fold of it now in this life. No man. And that's your assurance. So you don't throw away money. No. Or don't fling. It's not philanthropy. Or philanthropism or whatever the right English might be. It's giving. And it's a system of giving and receiving. See time and harvest. And we should stop arguing with it. Because it's a flow. You give. God organizes more. And then you give. It can't be limited to, I have salary, I give from my salary, it's only from my... No, God increases your capacity and then you give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Because love would always give, number one. Number two, giving keeps the circle going. Receiving ends it. You got it? But giving pushes out. Then receiving ends. Then giving pushes out. So don't let it end with you. Let it flow from you. Come back and flow. And then come back and flow. And then come back and flow. Do you get that? So we've got to, you know, put all of this in its right perspective. All right? It's a circle. It's a circle. It's a circle. So the receiver is always... That's the end of the thing. The giver says, no, it keeps going. It's like farming, all right? And that's why most times we refer to money as seed. The primary seed in the Bible is the Word of God. Okay, the seed is the Word of God. But you could learn the principle in the giving part. So, whoever harvests and eats up, it ends. But whoever plants keeps the circle going. Did you get that? And that's what it happens. Now, yeah, I mean, if you don't give for the rest of your life and you work hard, I mean, you're diligent or whatever, you would always have it because you're working. I mean, you're putting yourself out there and you're sweating. You will work. But the kingdom of God works with you understanding it is the Lord my God that gives me the power to get wealth. It is the Lord my God that gives me the power to get wealth. It is the Lord my God that gives me the power to get wealth. It is Him that gives me this power to get this wealth. So I haven't gotten this wealth. What do I do? To the Lord my God that gave me the power to get wealth. I honor Him. I honor Him. I honor Him. Honor is not earned. You know, yeah, you might not have that attitude, but by the time you look at how much it is you give, then you see, you know, to a kingdom. You're like, I need to honor Him more for this great thing He's doing. You know, people give great Thanksgiving offerings when they have Thanksgiving. All right? You know, I was delivered from an accident, or I just want to thank God for my life. And then you pack something in an envelope, and then the ushers carry a basket around, you know, the stage. I want to collect the money. Keep the basket. You know, put them back. You on your own, without anybody knowing, you wanted to thank God for something. You know the great things happening in your life. Pick your phone. You have the bank details. Transfer. And if it's cash, it's not until, family so-and-so want to do Thanksgiving, and then we've spent, in fact, the money you might have spent on cloth and shoe self is more than the money you're giving. So if you're not careful, you know, your boss have this thing they call carry me, you know, where you'll see. Because are you thanking God or just want to show that your family is in church? So Thanksgiving is good. It's a culture if it is handled with the right attitude. I mean, some do an annual Thanksgiving, so department by department or family by family, you know, by the end of the day, all right? And they set the basket there. By the time we put 15 baskets, they will give well. Maybe not. They will share, and if family knows you come out five times, you divide your 1,092 five places, 2,209, dance, dance, shake your bum, dance, dance, come back, and give. So, hey, what exactly? Wait. Even to make a transfer in your privacy, do you know you could honor God for 10 seconds, 50 seconds? Thank you, Father, for the privilege to make this transfer. Thank you. I give you praise. I honor you. We're not throwing away money. No, I'm not throwing it away. Listen, when you give, I know in finances, we put it under expense account. No, it's under investment. When you give, it's not expense account. It's not, you know, how much has gone. Then you put the ones you gave to church and, you know, ministry and all of that, you put under expense. Then maybe you did a few investments during the period. You not put investment. No, where your treasure is again, you're not seeing kingdom as an investment. Jesus said, lay up treasures where nobody else can get to. That means I can lay up treasure. I can set my investment. I can put my investment in kingdom. So no matter what's happening to me, kingdom is my priority. All right? So we'll look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll be reading the NIV. So I'll just pick it quickly. All right? From the second verse, you know? Part of the second verse, actually. All right? So Paul says, these things, all right, you should teach. So there are things to teach and insist on. That's how Paul says it here. These are the things, you know, you are to teach and insist on. He says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and they understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about the word that results in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth. And who think, please watch this, who think that godliness is a means of financial gain? Did you get that now? All right. He says they think that godliness is a means of financial gain. You know, let me just, you know, do a bit of comparison there. Easy to read. It says they are always making trouble because they are people whose thinking has been confused They have lost the understanding of the truth. They think that devotion to God is a way to get rich. No, godliness is God, is godlikeness. There's prosperity in the house, but your motive is not the money. Did you get this? There's prosperity. The drive for service, and by service I mean commitment, serving, to serve, should not be, you know, serve God, he'll make you rich. There is prosperity in the house. We have a lineage of prosperity in God's word. You will be okay. God will take care of you. Look through scripture. Everybody was okay. But the focus was on the Lord. Please keep the focus right. Keep the focus right. You know, verse 6 now says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we take nothing out of it. Very solid revelation. You think this is like Ecclesiastics you're reading right now. You know, Lamentations or Jeremiah. You know? But this is Paul, new creation. All right? For we brought nothing into the world, and we'll take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with it. All right? Those who want to be rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. There are very many traps that come with wanting more. It's not even about just the rich. It's even the guy that doesn't have that wants to have by force. You might have to lie. You might have to scheme. You have to twist and turn and bend and, you know, and cheat and, you know, all because you want something greedily. But when you walk into it by covenant, you know, this thing is my own. It will find its way to me. I will walk diligently with integrity and I'll have abundance. I will have abundance. All right. So 10 now says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Did you get that? It didn't say money. It's the love of it. This love can be had by someone who doesn't have a cupboard. This love can be had by someone who has a lot. It's that love of money. And the key has been dealt with here, contentment. Contentment, godliness with contentment. Verse 6 is great gain. Godliness with contentment. I've always tried to explain that contentment is not the same as containment. It doesn't mean you shouldn't want more or aspire for more, to be more, to do more, to accomplish more. It's not saying you don't aspire. So you're content. You're not envious of what someone else has. You're not envious of what someone else, you know, can do. You're not covetous of it. You're content. When you have capacity for more, I mean, there are ministers, I'll tell you that when they were growing as, you know, in their faith walk on prosperity, one of the things they learned was, if my faith cannot get it, I don't want it. If God won't do it for me, I don't need it. So they can train themselves to be content. They can train themselves to be content. So Paul in 10 says, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Please note that. Some people eager for money. Is Paul saying don't have money? No, context. You have to read the whole thing. And let me try and make, you know, get us down to like the 19th verse quickly. All right. Some people eager for money have pierced themselves. All right. You know, with many sorrows. Where am I now? Oh, da-da-da-da-da. All right. Oh, good. I scrolled down trying to look at 19. All right. You know, and wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But you, man of God, flee all of this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, all right, when you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made a good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, all right, which God, rather, will bring about in his time, God the blessed Father, only ruler, King of kings, Lord of lords, who alone is immortal, who lives in unapproachable light, who no one has seen or can see, to him be glory, honor forever, ever. Amen. Now 17. Follow the context. He now says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, all right, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Two things I've said last week, all right, they shouldn't trust in uncertain riches, they shouldn't be proud.
Now, someone now sees someone, you know, saying, sorry, I may be busy. I may not have time for it. You're arrogant. You're arrogant. It might not be. Don't be quick to judge. Did you get that? Don't be quick to judge. You might misjudge someone's conduct and then think it's arrogant. No. Sometimes when there's so much more to do on someone's plate, person won't have time for things person had time for before. All right? Things are just. Do you get that? You might have very little to do with arrogance. All right? I know a senior minister, you know how to organize more. He had a certain time of the day he could read his text messages. If not, the more you try to answer everybody, when would you prepare? And when you lose relevance, so simple, say, hey, he used to be anointed, he's not anointed again. That's gone. So, what do you do? Stay with the Lord. Everybody will be fine. Do you understand that? You stay with the Lord. So, he had a certain time of day he responds to text messages. It could be distracting. You're trying to read, bing, check, read, respond. You want to meditate, bing, read, check, read, respond. You want to pray, bing, 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 read, check. You will distract your flow. Shut it down. Put it on silence, maybe vibration, maybe airplane mode. I need this 1 hour to meditate. I need this 1 hour to listen to this teaching tape that was sent by church. I need this, I mean, sometimes message could be like over an hour. I need this concentrated time. I need to jot. I need to submit my notes on this. I need a phone, wait. Because sometimes it's right checking a text. You quickly want to see who liked your last post. Or you quickly want to see, and therefore you know what's happening, 30 minutes. You've been there, right? I have. I mean, 10 minutes gone, 15 minutes. You tell, not today. Not now. Not now. Some people have a way of now, you know, phones now come a certain timer. App timers. You know, it tells you how much time you spent. And all right, log out now. You spent too much. It's just for effectiveness. You need to manage self to be effective. Because at the end of the day, it's your relevance and your fruitfulness that matters. Did you get this now? All right, so you can't be there every day for everybody, even for yourself. All right? You got to be there for things that even your flesh might not want you to do. Command those that are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. This is all he's dealing with. All right? That money is useful, but don't love this thing. Don't be so eager, craving. You will get into trouble. And don't put your hope in it. Follow the balance, all right? Put your trust in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Paul says that. But I know that's the most popular verse for some people in this whole chapter. But you got to get what Paul is saying. Suddenly he switches. Verse 18. Command them to be good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. Why? 19. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. So it says, by giving, you lay up treasure. So it goes again to do what Jesus said, lay up treasure. How do you lay up treasure? You give. But it's not throwing away money. There's calculated measure, direction for it. You give to the gospel. You give to the poor. You give to the motherless. You give. Of you must take care of family. But this is you. So how much is left? So your faith comes in. Because the Lord your God gives you power to get wealth. All right? It means God to keep empowering you for more. That's a good place to say an amen. Because he empowers you for more. Expand your capacity. I will do more. I will do more. I will have capacity for more. I will lend to nations, I will not borrow. I will be above only, I will not be beneath. I am the seed of Abraham. You need to be aggressive where your faith for increase and your faith for expanded capacity will come in. People will go to school through you. Many will not know you. You will just set up a scholarship fund and then they will be the one meeting you at the airport or somewhere and just greeting you and hugging you. Ah, I went to school, I'm now a lawyer because of you. That's the kind of thinking I want you to have. If you are going to have that kind of money, a lot of it will be yours to enjoy. So it says it there. God gives us richly all things to enjoy. But understand that it should be money with a mission. Please understand and have that in mind. Money with a mission. It's money with a mission. Did you get that? It's money. It has a mission. And then you must be faithful in your little. And it keeps increasing. And then you are faithful. And then it keeps increasing, then you're faithful. And then it keeps increasing, then you're faithful. Anything kingdom, you say, no, I'm there. Count me in. If they say, no, it's complete, no, so please, one more spot. Even if it's 500 naira, one more spot. Please, let me add it. All right? David, when it was time to build the temple, dropped everything the temple needed. And as he told the leaders, all right, what are you going to do? And he said, freely, wherever the Lord touches, free will offering. Moses also in the building of the tabernacle, free will offering. God loves a cheerful giver. Make yourself that cheerful responder. When it comes to giving, make yourself it. And if you don't plan for it, it won't happen. So you say, God, all my money is yours. How's God going to get it? All right, like the guy that, you know, packed all his money together, then threw it up and said, God, oh, yeah, take your own. No? All right. Except there's something up there that will pull the money. You know, everything comes back and say, God, I gave God, or he didn't take it. You know, I threw it up and it all came down. So God said, he doesn't want. No, God already puts places. Scripture deals with that. Where to give. Where to give. Where to give. All right. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 1, then we'll quickly do 4 and then we'll wrap up. Philippians chapter 1, because I want to read a popular verse. Very, very popular. Philippians 1 verse 16. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it, I'm using NIV, all right, to completion unto the day of Christ. So everybody says, oh, I pray for you that he that began a good work in you will perfect it. Amen. Amen. I agree. It's prayer. It's good. But what is the context? What if I tell you the context here is giving? Oh, really? Yeah. Verse 3. I thank my God, NIV, every time I remember you. All right? In all my prayers for you, all of you, all right? I always pray with joy. Watch this. Paul is saying, I remember people. I badly my remembrance of you people. All right? So Paul says, I thank my God always for you. All right, I pray for you with joy because, verse 5, of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. They were his partners, giving to his ministry, supporting his mission. That's verse 5. I'll take it again. All right, NIV. Okay, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He now said in verse 6, being confident of this, that he that began a good work in you will carry it to completion. So he already in verse 5 talked about what a good work is. You've been given, supporting. God who started that in you would help you maintain faithfulness and commitment until the last day. Huh? Verse 7 says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. This, verse 7, is what leads to the prayer in chapter 4. I'm quickly going to say before we close. He says again here, it is right for me to feel this way about you all, right, since I have you in my heart. Why is he feeling that way? He's excited about them. They are giving, they are supporting his ministry. All right? Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in the God's grace. God's grace is his anointing. Paul says, you are partakers of the grace of God on my life. Meaning, the anointing at work in my ministry and I'm reaching out to people and the blessing, the favor of God upon his ministry and the impact of it, everybody giving towards it will receive from it. That's the scripture. We see it first in 1 Samuel 30. All right? Did you get this now? So we'll go to chapter 4. So in chapter 4, Paul begins to tell them, all right, from verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Renewed concern. Concern like, oh, Paul, we miss you. No. Renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. So there's concern. There's showing concern. So it's not, oh, we miss you. They needed to show the concern. How? He says, I am not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content, you know, to be content, whatever the circumstance, and this is true for all of us. You're content. If you have, you're great. If you don't have, you're great. You keep moving. The work must go on. I'm content. So 12 says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. 13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So that's our verse 13 again of I can do all things through Christ. The core context there is Paul is saying, I have learned to be content. I can be content through Christ who enables me. When I have plenty, I'm good. When I don't have enough, I don't cry. I move on. The work goes on. You can use it still. I can do all things for every other thing. It's fine. All right. 14. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, In the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, no one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. Nobody else. For when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Let's look at that in NLT. All right? So NLT says what? So watch this. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. These guys were committed. That's why he's thanking them. Now they say, he that began the good work. So the giving was the good work. Giving is good work. Giving to ministry, supporting, giving is good work. All right? Why are you talking about giving today? Because he's talking about giving. We've talked love, all right? We didn't complain. We've talked faith, and I want to believe nobody's complaining. All right? And if you're new watching us, you came at the right time. Scroll down. You hear loads of other great messages, but this time is giving. Praise God. You know? So it says, verse 17, not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. So he's referring to an account. Physical or spiritual sounds like spiritual, but that can be drawn from, or what he referred to in Timothy as a treasure and what Jesus called in Matthew 6 as a treasure. Where you put it, you get back. There's a treasure stored up for all of us in giving. Now, if I give to a ministry that impacts life, or like the missionary we said we give to as a ministry, money might come back, but much more than money, the harvest of every soul that that ministry impacts also is credited to our account through our support. Did you get that? We might do one more Sunday on this, and I think it's fine. All right. So, not because I say I give for that, all right? Some credit to your account. 18 says, I have received full payment, and I have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. So, like, wow, you guys sent me more than enough. They are fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. 19, and my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Because they gave. So he blessed them for giving. He could have said, our God. But don't forget, chapter 1, he said, you are partakers of my grace. There's a God who sent me on an assignment. There's where I'm headed. And there's great work being done. So a giver into the assignment is a sharer in that grace. And God will amply supply that giver as that giver is amply flowing into the work. It's the gospel. This is partnership. This is kingdom investment. This is it. All right? This is it. Even when as a church we began and we didn't have too much. There was a ministry here we used to sow to, and then we have to put it together. Every month we remove our 10%. It was small. And then every month we remove it. Then by the end of 3 months, it looks, you know, a bit better. Then we send it. But there were times at that month to send it. It's a commitment. You set up, you know, a system. Make up your mind. I have to be committed. I'm a kingdom financier. I'm a kingdom advancer. I am a seed of Abraham. So I know I will prosper. I know I'll prosper. And then stay with the messages we're giving you. The key to growth. Acting on God's word. Giving is part of God's word. All right? So we can't, like, you know, Paul said again to, maybe I'll read that again as we close in 2 Corinthians. Right, the 8th chapter there, and then the 7th verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and then verse 7. You know, Paul was saying, but since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love, all right, we have kindled in you, see that you excel in this grace of giving. Since you excel in faith, we've taught faith, we're still teaching it, we're teaching things, we've taught love for like 2 months plus. Let's excel in this grace of giving also. It's a ministry of giving. It's not the volume, it's the value. Some might give, you know, 100 and you just have 500. The value, your 500 from your 3-5, that's a whole lot of money. Oh, but it's small. No, it's a whole lot of money. The widow with two mites gave more than everybody else. So it's the value. And then you honor it and honor Jesus with it. Lord, I honor you and I give this. And then the multiplier multiplies. He gives seed to the sower. He gives bread to the eater. He'll multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Or everything I just said right now is in... let me just quickly read all that. All right. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 9. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap also sparingly. Whoever sows generously, reap also generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So make up your mind, but reminded you first, sparingly, sparingly, bountifully, bountifully, right? But don't forget, it's the value. All right? It's if someone could give what now? 5,000 naira from what? 10 million naira. Someone else will give 5,000 naira from 30,000 naira. The guy who gave 5 from 30,000 naira gave more. It's the value. Did you get that? All right. So, 8 says, and God is able, all right? God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you would abound in every good work. Amen? And as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. 10. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Hallelujah. I'll read that again. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed. All right? Your store of seed, that means you have more seed supernaturally to sow again. All right? And enlarge your harvest of your right works, your righteousness. 11 says, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, all right, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Why through them? Because they are giving to them. So because you gave to us, through us, we thank God. Whoever you give to ministry, person, through these people, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Let a lot of people be able to thank God because of you. Let souls you don't even know, lives you don't know, thank God because you are committed in partnership, in giving, in sowing, in being involved in kingdom work. Many people you don't know are being touched by you because you give to this ministry and because this ministry gives to other ministries. Many people you don't know. So let's do more. Let's do more. Money with a mission. Money on a mission. You need to get that. Money with a mission. Money on a mission. All right? Our prosperity has direction. Our prosperity has covenant sense. You got what I'm saying? Glory to God. So, Father, we thank you so much. Good word we've learned today. We give you praise. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. And we rejoice knowing that we are the seed of Abraham through Christ Jesus, having all blessing, increasing in all ways, abounding in every good gift in the name of Jesus. Account details are right there on the screen. All right. Once again, service ends. You know, leaders will get the teaching for the week available. Listen to just more than one. Listen quickly. All right, and let's load up on more and more. And please sit down, take note. Where we need to train you now to be studious and diligent with God's word. Very studious, very, very diligent where God's word is concerned. Is that all right? And please, 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 two important things. Number one, 5 p.m., all right, we will be hooking up again for influencers. We spread the gist. Spread the gist. And lastly, okay, come first Sunday of September, physical gathering SLCC resumes. Glory to God, all right? So Lagos, Ijebu, get ready, get ready, get ready. Do all you can. Be part of all you can. Just get help in every preparation and getting set. Start asking your leaders, start asking your pastors, what do we need to do to get ready? What do we need to do to get ready? What do we need to get ready? Start asking. Start asking. Be part of it, all right? And we're going to have a great, 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 great first service in September, all right? Have a blessed, blessed week, all right? Keep triumphing, keep winning, and keep listening to the message and jotting very well, and keep growing spiritually. All right, so have a great week. Yeah, bye.
My heart is wild. My heart is wild. I'm breathing every word that you've spoken. My heart is wild. My heart is wild. Reading every word that you've spoken, my heart is wide open. My heart is wide open. As I'm reading every word that you've spoken, you speak right to my core. No need to hide it. Oh.
nothing.